so much for coming. I'm going to have Brother Rick lead us in the song 138, if you can find the songbook in front of you. 138, there's a songbook in front of you underneath your chair. Thank you so much for coming. We're excited about this, and I'll introduce it in just a moment here. All right. It's all heaven's cell phone on, probably turn it to vibrate or tickle or wherever you want, and so we won't have too much noise going on there. Tonight our choir presents to you Christmas at Home. Music was written and arranged by Ron and Shelley Hamilton. Our choir is led by Pastor Rick Commodore, accompanied by Nancy Ross at the piano. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that this would be a glorious night. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight does not know you as their personal Savior, tonight would be that night. Lord, I pray for these who have worked so hard to practice, that have practiced and to memorized and done so much for this night. We thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I know they did it for you and are doing it for you. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's cast for the cantata will be Mr. Scott Hobbs as our narrator. Mr. Sheldon Ortiz as Emmanuel Christian McLaw. Mr. Brian Furr will play the doctor. And Mrs. Tanya Furr as Elizabeth Mithlaw.
Christmas at home, Christmas at home, Lord, how I want to go
Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Had always been Elizabeth McLaws' special time of the year. Her tiny cabin perched on a hill in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia was a world away from Bethlehem of Judea. And this year, 1848, was far removed from that first Christmas hundreds of years ago. But she cuddled her newborn son, born on Christmas Eve. She imagined she knew a little how Mary must have felt. As she gazed into the flickering fire of the hearth, her thoughts drifted to her husband, who would never know his own son. He had been a fine, hard-working man. He had hopes of becoming a doctor until the money ran out. Disappointed, he worked as a farmer until his patience ran out. Drinking brought a change in him. Elizabeth had often been the object of his anger as he returned home drunk. He must not have been able to stand the thought of another spring planting. She wasn't sure if it was a farm or her that reminded him of his failures. Whatever the cause, he was gone. He joined the army and went out west to fight the Indians. In the letters she had received, they said he had died a brave soldier. They said that she would receive a little money from time to time, but that was months ago. Elizabeth thought she knew Elizabeth thought she never knew happiness again until now. Again, she studied the little infant in her arms.
Emmanuel Christmas McLaws, that's your name. Who'd ever figure such a little fellow like you would have such a big name? You're not the same as baby Jesus, but my God is going to be with you too. Maybe he sent some angels to sing for you. Shh, listen. Do you know what they're singing? Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest, glory to God, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born, glory, glory, glory to God, glory, 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 glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Emmanuel Christmas McClaw. He became known simply as Manny. He went from being a little baby boy to a little man in just a few years. He had to. He was the man of the house, and he was serious about his position. Wherever Manny was, there was music. He was always singing, humming, or whistling. Old Mr. Thomas up the road gave him a mouth organ. His little, odd, off-key concerts got better with hours of practice. The quiet, cold winter evenings heard many rich, sad melodies from the harmonica of Emmanuel Christmas. 1861 brought the dark clouds of war to Virginia. The call to defend the state from the northern invaders was the only thing that could be talked about. A new company of Virginia volunteers was being formed. They set up camp less than 2 miles from the McClaw cabin during the summer of 1862. Manny would fly through his chores and run to Mr. Mahoney's farm to drink in the excitement of the endless drills and marches. Around the campfire at night, the mellow harmonica of Emmanuel McClaw made the men of the Virginia Volunteers dream of home and the loved ones they left behind. He became a favorite of the soldiers. It was Captain Claremont himself who suggested that Manny become the drummer boy. Emmanuel's mind burned with excitement of marching with the army. The men liked him. He could certainly master the drum, and he could be a brave soldier, like his father. But the thought of his mother, all alone, brought him back to reality. Would she understand why he had to go?
But you're all in the world I have left.
But, Mama, only gone a few weeks. General Jackson says that nothing's going to happen. The Federals are across the river, waiting for winter. We're just supposed to watch them until cold weather sets in.
You'd serve under General Jackson?
Yes, ma'am. He's a Christian, Mama, like you and me. They say he won't even fight on Sundays, unless he's cornered. They say he lives by the New Testament and fights by the Old. Some of the men say that he even prays during the hottest times of battle, with bullets flying all around him. General Jackson says that he's just as safe in his parlor as he is on the battlefield, as long as God wants him on earth. Oh, please, Mama, let me go.
You remember I lost your father when he joined the army. Why, them Injuns killed him before he ever knew I was expecting.
But, Mama, I heard tell that General Jackson never loses anything. Fact is, they say he usually gains a few from the other side.
Emmanuel, 14 years ago, I was all alone in this old world. Then God sent me a very special Christmas gift. I named that gift Emmanuel. Son, do you know what your name means?
Of course, Mama. You tell me all the time. Emmanuel means God with us. But, Mama, doesn't that mean that God is with me, just like he is with General Jackson? I'm just as important as the general to Jesus, ain't I?
Emmanuel Christmas, you are a rascal.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you will be home before the birthdays.
The birthdays?
Yours and Jesus's. Son, I want you to promise me you'll spend Christmas at home. You must be home for Christmas.
Mama, I'll spend Christmas at home. I promise. Don't worry. There ain't going to be no fighting. Besides, I wouldn't miss Christmas at home for anything.
Lord, how I want to go home.
But there was fighting, serious fighting, desperate fighting. It took place near the little town of Fredericksburg in Virginia. December came. Winter should have halted the armies. Yet General Burnside sent his army of 150,000 over the Rappahannock River to face the well-entrenched Confederates. Ordered to support General Longstreet's corps, the small company of Virginia volunteers awaited the outcome of the fierce battle. Before the battle was ended, over 18,000 Americans, both blue and gray, became casualties on December 13, 1862. Among them, a 13-year-old drummer boy from Berryville, Virginia, Emmanuel Christmas McClaw, was running ammunition to the embattled defenders of the famous stone wall when a great black shell exploded only a few yards away. The grizzled soldiers had earlier been inspired by the young boy's bravery. They were soon shocked to see the mangled drummer boy grimacing in pain with death all around him. Darkness finally put an end to the fighting, but not the suffering. Manny was barely aware of the doctor, smelling of sweat, powder, and liquor bending over him.
Boy. Boy, can you hear me?
I can't beat the charge, sir. My drum is broken. I can't beat the charge.
Save your strength, boy. I'm going to have to move you.
You're a doctor?
That's right. Now you hush.
Then it's over?
Yeah, it's over. It's over for a lot of men.
My leg, doctor. I can't move it. It hurts so bad. Can you make me better?
Put your arms around my neck, boy. I'm going to have to move you.
No, sir. You'll get all bloody.
Do as I say, boy.
He didn't even know why he bothered. It didn't look good for the boy. The mangled leg would have to be amputated. And even that would be little help against the gangrene he knew would set in before long. In anger, he cursed when he found there was no chloroform for anesthesia. A drink from his bottle braced him for the task ahead.
Son.
Doctor?
Boy, you're going to lose this leg.
Now, doctor?
Yes, now. We have no time to lose. There's no chloroform to help with the pain. So you're going to have to take a drink of this.
No, doctor. My mama made me promise to never drink.
Well, your mama doesn't know war. Now drink it.
I'll be all right without it, doctor.
This would be a good deal worse than you could ever imagine, boy.
My Lord will stand by me now.
Oh, religious, huh?
Well, Jesus is my Savior, if that's what you mean, doctor.
Well, you believe anything you want. Anything you want.
It's almost Christmas, sir. Do you know who was born on Christmas Day?
Well,
It was Jesus, sir. He's called Emmanuel in the Bible. It means God with us. Jesus is right here with us, doctor. He's going to help us both right now. I've been praying for you.
Pray for yourself if you will, boy, but I'm past your Lord's help.
Oh, no, sir.
Nurse, get some men in here to help hold this boy.
God is with me, doctor. You won't need anyone to hold me down.
Maybe your God is with you, but this would be a good bit more powerful than I expect him to be.
15 minutes. It took 15 minutes as fast as the hardened doctor could work. 15 minutes that must have seemed like an eternity to the boy. Over and over the boy prayed.
Oh, Emmanuel. God be with us. Emmanuel. God be with us. Oh, Emmanuel. God be with us.
No one knew the doctor. Not really. Except by reputation. It was said he had no heart. They said he had liquor for blood, but he shook uncontrollably as he finished this operation. Drenched with sweat, he hurried from the hospital tent, hurrying to his own tent, hurrying into the darkness, hurrying to his bottle. He tried to sleep amid the moans of the dying, but his mind was filled with the boy who wanted to spend Christmas at home. The boy's voice echoed in his brain, "Emmanuel! God with us, Emmanuel. God be with us." Emmanuel Christmas McClaw, the Christmas boy, was not getting any better. The doctor felt helpless against the weakening condition. Special medicines were secured. They had little effect. The boy developed pneumonia. The embittered doctor resented the fact that he wished the boy to live. More than anything, he wished him to live. He found himself checking him repeatedly.
Doctor, is that you?
Yes, son. Don't try to talk now.
I have to, Doctor. You see, I'm going home soon.
That's not possible. You'll be here for several months until you get stronger.
No, I mean heaven will be my Christmas home, Doctor.
Nonsense, boy. You're going to be fine.
Doctor, the Lord will have me come home to heaven for Christmas. But you don't know him, do you, Doctor?
Who? You mean your Lord?
Yes, sir. When you were operating on me, I asked Jesus to save your soul.
No, I told you. It's too late for that.
Oh, no, sir.
You don't know what I've done, boy.
No, sir. But God does. That's why I came to earth, to be with us. To die for those sins. The Lord has told me that I will see you in heaven.
Will you stop that foolish talk? Why are you crying, boy?
Mama, show me where you get my Bibles for, Doctor. Here, I'm in my towel.
My back now, boy.
Okay. Only, I can't breathe so well. What's that right eye, Doctor?
What light, son?
There. No, it's not a light. Oh, Doctor, it's Jesus. Don't you see him? They're singing for him. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming home.
God, if you really are Emmanuel, will you give me what this boy had? I've rejected you for so long. I didn't even believe you existed. But now, Lord, I believe. Yes, I believe. Oh, Lord, please forgive me and save my wicked soul.
Virginia gave the doctor plenty of time to think. He fingered the small Bible in his pocket to see if it was still there, to convince him that the events of the past few days were real. For the 100th time, he read the inscription to Emmanuel C. McClaw from Elizabeth Frederick McClaw. Even as the wagon jostled over the frozen Virginia roads, he thought of his wife and of home. He prayed his letter would reach her before he arrived.
My dearest Elizabeth, I hardly know where to begin. I guess I should start by confessing that the letter you received 14 years ago was forged. No, I wasn't killed in battle. I just wanted you to be free from the likes of me. I've always loved you. I'm sure by now you've heard about Manny. You would have been proud, Elizabeth. Hundreds of men have died in my care. But Manny was different. During the worst of his suffering, he was more concerned about me than about himself. Even when he was dying, he was telling me about his Emmanuel. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry. If you can find it in your heart to forgive, I'd like to spend Christmas at home. You see, now Manny's God is my God. I was shown the way home by my own son. All my love, Nathan Anderson McGlaw.
Thank you.